Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Welcome into the Labatt Blue Studio. It's time for the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white.
Drink blue and light.
Thank you, Andrew P.
Shea. I almost wasn't ready.
You can catch all of the Keystone Kickoff Penn State football talk on our app, Keystone Sports, or you can find us now on Spotify. I'm Jim Galante, here with Andrew P. Shea and Bob Flounders. How you doing, guys?
Great. As we sit down to talk about this, we're officially in the month of August. And, you know, Penn State practice is about 24 hours away. We got Penn State Media Day coming up this week. So it's nice to be out of the off season.
It is. But I'm going to warn you, Bob, ahead of time, Andrew and I spoke before the show. We're both grumpy today.
All right. So you're going to both split the role of Ross Tucker, who...
is not with us.
Exactly.
Okay.
All right. Let's talk about what we have on the show today. We are going to do, of course, news and notes in quarter number one. Quarter number two, we are going to start our position preview. So we're going to start with the quarterbacks. That's always fun.
Always fun. I think that's what everyone else wants to talk about. So why not get started?
Quarter number three, it's the chance for Bob and Andy to answer your questions. And in quarter number four, I am curious to hear this one. The answer is because we are going to look at what we call our man crushes. We've done this show for several years now. We all know we have them. Mm-hmm. Those guys that we have just a little special appreciation for, we're going to talk about those. But
last year, mine was Connor McGovern. I love that guy.
Braggart. You're a braggart.
I had Saeed Blacknell for a while.
Oh, yeah. Well,
you hung on to that one.
We're about to talk about one of my... former man crushes. It just never got started for him in college.
Let's get it out of the way in the news segment. Yeah. You're referring to Manny Bowen.
The one and only Manny Bowen.
Who has decided for some unknown reason to leave the Utah football team. Surprise,
Bob? I without knowing the details, since he's more than 2,000 miles away, it would not shock me if whatever ailed Manny Bowen in state college traveled with him to the great state of Utah. And I will just say this. I hope everything's okay with him. I hope it's not anything, you know, personal or serious. But, you know, when we look back on this player and this talent that Penn State had, one of the great, I would say one of the great talent disappointments Penn State's had in recent years. And I'm sorry he didn't get a chance to see it all the way through. But, man, he could have been a lot better than what he was.
You know the movie, when I think of Manny Bowen now that he's out of the Utah program and all the excuse me, all the troubles he had at Penn State. Remember the movie Bronx Tale?
Yes.
What's the great line from that?
Well, come on, Andy. Like, go ahead.
Wasted talent. Nothing worse than wasted
There's
talent.
There's a lot of good lines in
there. There is a lot of good lines in that movie. It's good. De Niro's in it. It's a good movie.
It's only 30 years old, but yeah.
It's like really old.
I didn't know what you were talking about.
But one of the great lines was that there's nothing worse than wasted talent.
Yeah, he was. I know Ross Tucker really liked him too when he was part of the recruiting class.
Oh, yeah,
played right away as a true freshman. We're probably spending too much time on him, but boy, he was one of my man crushes from a couple years ago, and I was wrong.
Well, you could have a man crush disappoint you, so I've got a whole file full of them. So let's move on. Here's another news item. It's not a big deal, I don't think, but it's interesting to me. Perhaps you've read this. Tim Tebow has predicted Penn State to the college football playoffs.
He also put TCU in, let's just say that. And he left Clemson out.
Okay. Yep. Full disclosure. But before we talk about Tim Tebow's picks, I also want to throw in that Ryan Leaf also put out his forecast for the whole Big Ten, and he had Penn State at 6-6.
Yeah.
So according to these two, I guess on average they're a 9-win team, but one of them has them in the playoffs, the other has them as a 500 team.
I mean, I think we're talking about two extremes. I think we're talking about the absolute best case, obviously, for Penn State, and the absolute worst case. I think to Ryan's credit, I think he actually did the W's and L's for a 6-6. I think I saw that on social media. One thing I will say is I do think that Penn State's schedule is a lot more challenging than I think the average fan realizes. Andy Shea and I were talking. We'll let him get to it. But to see a path to 6 losses for Penn State, that was tough for me. I did my season predictions. I already have – we're going to get to that, I'm sure, later. But and I will say this. Hey, look, one guy got the job done in college. One guy never got the job done. Not really in college, I don't think. Came up short against Michigan in the Rose Bowl. And you saw what he did with the Chargers. Maybe he's just trying to get some attention. And maybe Tim is too. But I think Tim is probably closer to the truth than Ryan is.
To me, it's such a disparity that it speaks to Penn State going into this 2019 season. There's so much unknown. But if you're going to look and go, okay, 6-6 is the basement and college football playoff as a ceiling, right?
Yeah.
How do you come to that either way with
the
question marks at the running back position, the question marks sort of a little bit at receiver, at running back, defensive tackle on the inside a little bit, you know, what about, you know, what are the corners? Who are the corners? There's enough to say, okay, well, there's a gap, but still 6-6.
Yeah.
And I do agree with you, Jim, about their schedule. Purdue is a home game, but that's not going to be – they got to go to Iowa. They got to go to Michigan State. At Minnesota, that's your – that's I've already identified Bob thinking. At Ohio State, there are some road games, but 6-6 means they got to lose all of those.
Yeah.
And they have to lose to Iowa, or they lose to possibly Indiana.
I think the path there is they lose to the teams they've always lost to in the Big Ten East.
Right, Michigan, the Big Three,
State, Ohio State, Michigan, and they lose all of the games against the Big Ten West.
At
Minnesota, at Iowa, and Purdue jumps up and bites him. That's probably the only possible way, and I just think that is the longest of long shots.
Well, I also think part of this is, remember, he's a West Coast guy. He's a Pac-12 guy. He's not going to know this team really well.
Right.
He doesn't know who the next in line for the quarterback is.
Correct.
What he sees is they lost a 3-year starter at quarterback. The heir apparent transferred. Oh, my goodness, they're playing a third-string quarterback. Plus, they lost their star running back.
Yeah.
I think that's how you come to those conclusions from a national picture.
And I think more interesting is Tim Tebow's thoughts, if you really think about it.
Right.
Because for them to get to the playoff, obviously they got to win the Big Ten title. But, I mean, he has to think they're going to win at Ohio State. Obviously, they're going to beat Michigan at home. And they did that. They did that in 2016. They lost at Michigan, and they beat Ohio State. They beat Michigan State. That's what I got wrong. But I mean, to see them win at Ohio State, that would be that'd be the biggest win I think in James's career at Penn State if he could win at Ohio State this year.
He's come very close.
He has. He has. With a generational talent and an unbelievable lead that they couldn't hold.
So is he thinking a college Penn State in the college football playoffs is 12-1 with the Big Ten title?
See a two-loss Penn State team being in the playoff.
Right, right. I don't see a two-loss team.
There aren't many two-loss teams.
Yeah.
So if it's one loss and you win the Big Ten, especially with all the talk about the Big Ten not getting there. Anyway, you are listening to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. Let's get to a couple other news items. This past week, the Penn State football team picked up at least 3 players. A 2021 tight end, Nick Elksness, who seems like
2021.
He's a 3-star.
Next.
But he's got offers Florida State. He's got a great offer list. Just recently this week, Malik Mega, a wide receiver from Canada. Apparently, he's been impressing people at the camps.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't have a real impressive offer list, but all the offers he has gotten, Louisville, South Carolina, Tennessee, came right after he camped. And the third guy is a punter, Taylor Getty from Norfolk State, who's going to have 3 years to play too. And he's our punter's heir apparent, apparently.
Well, they have a good number of punters and kickers/punters/kickers on Penn State's roster already. So you take the punter because you're like, okay, more competition, the better after Blake Gillikin. That's simply the tight end's 2021. That's 2021. The interesting thing is the receiver from Canada. He's fast. Like, he's really fast. He's an athlete and he's really fast. And
he's also 6 foot three.
He's also 6 foot three. Fast dude. They're going to have a huge 2020 class. This just is another sort of crumb to tell you that the 2020 recruiting class is going to be 30, possibly a little bit larger, but somewhere upwards around high 20s to low 30s is where they're going to end up. And they're taking a lot of guys that they think are fast because they're built on speed now.
Yeah. Well, the thing that jumps out to me is the 2021 kid. You gotta hold on tight for 18 months to get this kid now.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I just think we've talked about it before. I mean, it's to me, it just feels like it's too early to be verbally committing, not only from the kid's perspective, but if you're Penn State, to kind of have to manage this now, because I'm sure if he continues to develop, other programs are going to come after him, and we've seen what's happened.
And the other part to this is the Florida strategy. Obviously, Penn State wants to be a factor in Florida, but any kid from that far away, it's always a little shaky when they commit this early.
Geography sometimes does end up mattering more than it does sooner.
They did lose a linebacker from Florida
in this last decommitment group earlier
this year, correct?
Yep.
And that's always going to be a possibility when you recruit nationally.
Yeah.
You just factor that into your numbers. Bob, you mentioned this, go ahead, Andy.
The one thing I was going to say is for Penn State fans is to keep an eye through camp and through the season as they're building and finishing the 2020 class. The way they're putting it together, you're just going to see commitments continue to trickle in rather than, you know, like big names and targets and all that stuff. They're just building a big class because they can, and they're willing to build it around speed, and they're going to take guys that if they had to choose, it would be smaller. So just keep an eye there. It's going to be more.
And remember, James said in Chicago, 30 kids in a class is now the new measuring stick. So they're going to, in effect, oversign because of the transfer portal, decommitments, all of it.
And is this just part of the whole strategy now? It's 3 years. You get your degree. You either go off to the NFL. There's a handful that'll be around who will be starting.
Yeah.
And the rest are going to hit the transfer portal.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Move on. Real quick, Bob.
Yes.
James Franklin says Brandon Smith is a man.
Yeah. If he's 240 now. I saw a picture of him at Live for Life. He's going to be hard to keep off the field in 2019, and they have a good linebacker group. But I think he's got to play, and I think he's going to play on special teams as well.
Is this a precursor to our man crush segment?
This is not.
Okay. That's it for quarter number one. Stick around. Quarter number two, we're going to look at the quarterback position.
It's time to get undomesticated. It's time for Labatt Blue. Time to get off the couch and on the beach, on the trails, on the lake, onto what you love doing best. Get in touch with your adventurous side. Get out the ATV, the tent, the sunscreen. Get out the cooler and fill it high with Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light, because nothing goes better with the great outdoors. It's time to get up, get out, get undomesticated. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.
Hey, Penn State fans, here is your chance to take something off your bucket list. That's right, Go PSU RV is offering a full range of RV setups ready for a weekend of great tailgating at their Lions Den, which is the closest single-game RV overnight lot to Beaver Stadium. You can arrive anytime Friday afternoon. Stay until Sunday morning, avoiding all that traffic. Don't miss this unique opportunity. Go online to gopsurv.com and reserve your RV today. 409 Tailgate Club proudly introduces our tailgate wines. Like our great sauces and rubs, you'll enjoy our wines at your next cookout, tailgate, or even as a great gift for that fan of the blue and white. Speaking of blue and white, you've got to try our award-winning Sapphire Blue, made from pure blueberry juice. Or how about our Old Main Pinot Grigio and 1855 Vidal? Go to tailgatewine.com and find all our PA preferred wines. That's tailgatewine.com.